Good morning, everyone. I just want to welcome you to Word of Deliverance service. Thank you for joining us online. We are hoping to be able to be in the building next week, and we chose to stay out one more week because I know we've had some folks in amongst us who've had some things going on health-wise and some sicknesses and some viruses and things like that. So we want to keep those in prayer this morning. Continue to remember the Harvey family. They need some healings and stuff. Also, Beth's baby Indiana is running a fever this weekend, and I just believe in healing and declaring healing over that baby. And some of our other families in the church have had viruses and sickness, and the Malcolms, and just everyone in the church that's had some sickness going on here lately. We wanted to give a little bit of time, but also want to believe together for God's healing in all of this. And so I just want to open us with prayer this morning. And if you have a need this morning, wherever you are, if you have an issue, whether it be financial, spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever it is you need today, we want to agree together with you. We want to stand together because I believe that the Bible declares that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And I believe we stand together as a family, as a unit all across this country this morning. I love the picture the Lord gave me in my mind back early in the spring when we started having to do live stream and going out, not being able to meet in the building. And I could see as it was that the church services and the gospel and the message was starting on the East Coast. And by the time change, as it got to the West Coast, it was just like a wave of the Word of God that's passing over our country and passing over our nation today. So I want to stand up with men and women who are declaring the gospel today over our country and over our nation as the worship, the praise, and the Word goes across time zones today, goes across our nation, and not just into this nation, but other parts of the earth. And I believe that God is sweeping over, moving in and amongst us, and I believe that the kingdom of God is alive and well. So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for everyone who has joined their heart and their ears, Lord, to join us today. We thank you that your word is powerful, that it is alive, that it quickens and makes alive our mortal bodies. Father, your word says that if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, it will quicken and make alive our mortal bodies. So today, Father, I thank you for the quickening spirit. I thank you for the quickening anointing. I thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit, that you stir the waters of anointing today, God, that you touch and heal and move and make alive, Father. And we honor you and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. If you are joining us online today, go ahead and say hello, say amen, say whatever you need to say, and it'll let us know that you are there and that you're hearing it and something that is ministering to you. Hallelujah. Well, Dr. Lynn Howe shared with us a powerful word last Sunday and talked about the sound. When you hear the sound of the rustling in the tops of the trees in the mulberry bush, you'll know it's time to move in the moving of the Spirit. And he talked about singing the song of Zion. And, he and I both have been tagging off of a theme that I felt like the Lord spoke to us in this house prophetically back in the spring and into the summer when he took me to the book of Nehemiah. And when I asked him, I said, Lord, what are you saying? I hear lots of voices. I hear lots of opinions. I hear lots of comments, but I want to know what you're saying. What are you saying in this season? And what do you want me to say? And I felt like the Lord spoke to us and took me to the book of Nehemiah and said, arise and build. And when I did that, I went back and reviewed some things. And we know that that Nehemiah means, his name means comforter, and we equate him to the Holy Spirit today. How many are you thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit? I want to talk about anointing today, and I'm thankful for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But you know, in the Old Covenant, a lot of times the anointing was poured on the head or it was poured on the items in the tabernacle, it was poured on the priest. But I'm thankful today, not only is there an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our day, but there's an indwelling spirit and an indwelling anointing of the Holy Spirit that's in us. And I want to talk about unity and living out of the anointing of unity today. Because I believe there's some things happen when we're in union. I believe there's some things that happen when we're in union with the Father, we're in union with the power of the Holy Spirit, where there's no division among us, when we're in union with one another, and that unity is not disturbed. And I mean, there's a whole lot of things right now that can cause us to be divided or cause our unity to be challenged. But what I know is this, that there's an anointing that flows out of unity. And I want to take you to Psalms 133, 1 through 3 this morning, the scripture that the Lord spoke to me and said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That picture, that formation, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There's several things, several points in that. I want to talk about unity this morning. I want to talk about anointing, and I want to talk about the mountains of Zion. Lynn shared some things last week about, the Mount of Sinai. How many know Mount Sinai was the mountain of the law? It was the where the law was given. It was where, people were afraid. And when Moses went up to the mountain. But in the New Covenant, we see that it says, the scripture says, you didn't come to Mount Sinai. You have come to Mount Zion. How many know there is the Mount Zion is not just a place or geographical place, but it's a people. We are the people of Zion. We are God's chosen people. We are the anointed of the Lord. But the scripture says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it's like a precious ointment that's upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Now, when we talk about an anointing, many times when we have service here and we bring people up, we get the olive oil and we take a little dot of olive oil and we anoint their head, because the scripture tells us that we can be anointed with oil and that call for the elders of the church and pray together, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. But when they were talking about this kind of anointing in the Old Testament, they weren't talking about a little bit on the head. They literally would take a flask or a ram's horn, and they would pour the anointing on the head of whatever, or on the vessel of whatever they were consecrating, or whatever they were setting apart, or whatever they were anointing. They would pour it on their head. And so that the person that was being anointed, it wasn't just a little shiny spot on the forehead, but it literally would saturate their hair, it would saturate their garments, and it would flow down. All the way down, sometimes even it would go into the collar, and it would go down to the hem of the garment of the priest or the king or whoever they were anointing. And when I think of that kind of anointing, I think about not just a little dab of anointing. I think about an anointing that saturates. Hallelujah. And I think about the saturation of the Holy Spirit. And if you've ever got oil on a garment, you know it doesn't come out easily. It's not easily removed. And I declare to you today that we are living in a time where we draw from the resource of the anointing, and that anointing is not easily moved. And I don't just want a touch of anointing that gets me through this issue or that issue. I want to live out of an anointing that saturates every part of my being, that it saturates my mind, my will, my emotions, that it saturates my home, my life, my garments, whatever I function in. I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That same verse in the Message Bible says, how wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing from Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands blessing, ordains eternal life. Amen. I want to say to you this morning that in the anointing that flows from the head, not just our head, but flows from the head, which is Jesus, that flows from the heaven, that flows in the high places, that flows from a position of Zion, that flows down into the mountain. And I declare that we are being challenged to live out of that place. And I don't know about you, but it's real easy sometimes to forget to live out of your anointing. We can get rattled, we can get distracted. And I've many times, even over this last season, have had to remind myself to stir up the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I got to say to you this morning, I miss not gathering in the sanctuary. And I hope you do too. I hope it makes your heart grow fonder for being back together. But this house is not the only house. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we know that God dwells among us, and we don't have to dwell in a temple. But I miss connection with people, and I miss atmosphere. There's something about coming together with a community of believers in the house of the Lord that is encouraging to me. It lifts me up. And I got to tell you guys, it is so much easier to preach when you guys are here and you are amening me and you are egging me on and you deep calls the deep and you're pulling it out of me. And I got to say, I miss that anointing because there's something in the spirit that interacts. There's something that just changes when we come together and when we flow together. Together in an anointing, and then there's something that happens when you release your anointing, and you release your anointing, and you release your anointing in the house, because it starts to change atmosphere. You know, I can watch it in worship, and we get ready to do worship and praise, and you can just feel the anointing start to build. And it's not that the anointing, you know, comes and goes. We know that we live with the anointing of the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. But there's something about when we begin to lift up our hearts in praise and worship that begins to change and the atmosphere starts to change. And I love it because you can start to see the kids start to notice and you can start to see people start to notice there's something shifting. There's something changing in the atmosphere and the kids will start to migrate to the front and they'll start to dance or people will start to dance or lift their hands or start to move out in the congregation and begin to minister and to give words of wisdom and knowledge and things like that because atmosphere creates a environment for the anointing to change, the anointing to change things. And I love that. And so it's been real important in this season to be able to connect with someone who can be in unity with you, who can encourage you, who can stir up the gifts in you, can stir up the anointing and challenge you to step out in those things with God. And so this psalm was a psalm of ascent, or it was a psalm that they would sing when they were going up to the high place, when they were going up to the temple. It was a psalm of elevation. And I believe there's something that elevates God's people when we begin to dwell together in unity and release the anointing, the corporate anointing that flows from the head all the way down to the garments, the beard, saturates even to the hem of his garment. Unity is where we recognize the need for godly order and other people's anointings and giftings. I am so thankful today for the giftings and the anointing of those in this house that God has placed here. I'm thankful for those who can lead us in worship. I'm thankful for those who can minister to our children. I'm thankful for those who meet with our teens and those, my board of elders and those who feed the hungry and those who are the gifts of helps and all of the different things, the media, the sound, all of those things that make it so important. Can we have church without those? We can. But I'm going to tell you, when you get together and the anointing gets stirred, it makes you want to operate in the giftings and the anointings that God has placed in you. And so I love that. But I read something last night. I was sitting in my living room, and I was pondering on something, and I read something from out of a book that I had picked up from John Maxwell, and it's about geese, and I love this, and I want to share it with you this morning. It says, when you see geese heading south for the winter, flying along in a V formation, you might be interested in knowing that science has discovered why they fly that way. So if you ever wanted to know why geese fly in a V formation, I'm going to tell you. Research has revealed, listen to this, that as each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately behind it. I want to read that again. Research has revealed that as each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately behind it. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock has at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. I love that. People who share a common direction and sense of community get where they are going more quickly and easily because they are traveling on one another's thrust. Whenever a goose falls out of formation, it certainly feels the drag resistance on trying to go it alone and quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front of it. If we as people have as much sense as a goose, we will stay, in formation, and so will those who are headed the same way we are. When the lead goose gets tired, he rotates back in the V and another goose flies to the point. It pays to take turns doing hard jobs. And finally, when a goose gets sick or it's wounded by gunfire and falls out, two other geese fall out of formation or follow it down to help and protect it. They stay with the goose until it is either able to fly again or dead, and then they launch out on their own or with another formation until they can catch up with the group. I love that this morning. I was encouraged by seeing that because it says, research has revealed that each bird flaps its wings. It creates an uplift for the bird immediately behind it. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock has at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I love the formation of the geese. I love that when we are flying high, when we are flying in formation, when we are doing what we are called to do. How many know geese are called to fly? They fly in formation. They read the seasons. They know how to navigate. They know how to move. But when they are flying together, someone takes the lead. And whoever takes the lead is causing a thrust for those behind them. But they also allow for one, whoever is taking the lead, to drop back in formation. And somebody else takes over for a little bit and causes that V of formation of those geese to be able to fly together. I love that. I love that. When oil is on the head, they poured the oil on the head of those that they were consecrating or anointing. And it said that it would flow down to every part of their being. But I want to think about it like this. When the oil is on the head, it is our mind, our will, and our emotion. It flows down to every part of our being. Somebody say saturated this morning. I don't want to just have a little touch of anointing. I want my mind, my will, and my emotions to be saturated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I love the illustration of the great shepherd David, who is the forerunner of the great shepherd, who is Jesus, talks about the care for the sheep. And one of the things that he says in that psalm is, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. That's not just a little touch of anointing. That's a saturation of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And what I felt like God spoke to me about that is when he anoints the head with oil, he anoints my mind, my will, and my emotions. And you've heard me share this before. The reason that a shepherd anoints the oil of the sheep is to keep the nose flies away, to keep the bugs away. I don't know if in your region, or your environment or wherever it is, if you all have gnats, but in the summertime we get gnats here and they will just swarm your head. They will get in your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ears. They're just crazy sometimes. And they can actually, they really cause an aggravation. But with sheep, there was something called nose flies that would get on the head of the sheep. And when it did, it would get into their ears and would get into their nose and things like that. And it would buzz and roar until it would aggravate the sheep so bad that they would bang their head against a wall or they would throw themselves off of a cliff to make the things that was tormenting their head to go away. I want to tell you today, if you are overcome by fear or despair or hopelessness or doubt or sickness or disease or poverty, I want to declare to you today, and I pray this over you, that God will anoint our heads with oil, that it saturates our mind, our will, and our emotion. Because I'm going to tell you, if you can change your mind, if you can change your heart, you can change your circumstances. You can change your environment. You can change those things through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that are bugging you, that are causing you to be out of your comfort. I was thinking today, there's a whole lot of things that I've had to anoint lately and had to put my mind and my will emotions. How many know sometimes it's fasting some things? And we don't like to talk about fasting because, you know, we're new covenant believers and you know, we don't need to do fasting. But I want to tell you, there's some things in this season that we need to fast. And fasting is not a hunger or a starvation to get God to move. Fasting is to get you to move. God's ready to move. He just wants you to get into position to move. But there's some things we've got to fast. And if you want to fast food and the natural, go for it. Go for it. You know, that can be a great way to just consecrate some time to God. But there's some things in media, Facebook, social media, and some things, TV, there's a whole lot of things out there sometimes that I got to fast from those things. I got to put it down, put it out of my mind, put it away, and let my mind be focused and take it up to the heavenly places. That psalm about the anointing flowing from the head and down to the beard, that was a song of ascent. It was a song for the high places. And we've got to start looking to a higher place in this day, in this season, because that's where our strength, that's where our hope comes from. And we live out of an anointing. You know, in the Old Testament, they poured it on the head. In the New Testament, how many know when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, the scripture said it came in like a mighty rushing wind and it sat upon them and they began to speak in a tongue that everyone could understand, that they could understand in their own language. And it didn't just sat upon them, but it filled the house. It filled them and they began to operate out of a place of anointing. That's where we see Peter stand up on the day of Pentecost and say, "Men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that anointing that's poured out by, that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit, my anointing on all flesh." And I believe we've got to live out of that anointing. Samuel challenged Saul when he was anointed to be king to go and find the prophets who were coming down out of the mountain with harps and lyres and timbrels and songs. He said, "Find some prophets that are anointed, that are coming down from a high place of worship. And when you connect with them, the anointing is going to hit you. The anointing is going to flow through you and you are going to be able to prophesy." How many know who you connect with, who you allow to impart into you will determine where you go and determine how you think, how you feel, And my prayer and desire has been, Lord, take me to a high place, that out of a place of worship and a place of praise and a place of focus on you, that an anointing can speak that's not any other voice, but it's your voice. And that's what I want to hear. I really felt like when I challenged some of our folks in prayer this week, and I challenged them with a question on prayer, and we're going to do some midweek Bible study things through Zoom. So if you are able to connect with us on that, we would love to have you. But you know, we started out 2020 talking about vision, having 2020 vision and focus, keeping your focus. And we were challenged through the whole year to keep your focus on God. Don't get distracted by the voice of Sanballat. Don't get distracted by those who would hire propagandists against you. Don't get discouraged by what you see. But Nehemiah the Comforter began to build. And he began to arise and build. And he began to not look at things that and declare that it's over and it's done. He said, I'm going to arise and I'm going to build back those things that are important and sacred to me. And so we talked a lot about focus. But one of the things I felt like the Lord spoke to me in this year is not just focus, but listen. And I believe that's a lot of what prayer does. Prayer is not just our conversation with God. Prayer is giving Him opportunity to talk. Like, I talk to God a whole lot, and I can say a whole lot of things, but I want to hear what He's got to say back to me. And I was in my car the other day, and I was going to work, and I got in my car, and I started a prayer because I had pray, and I challenge my people, you know, let's just pray and let's keep our mind focused on Him. And I got in there and I said, Lord, I need you to, and I stopped myself. And I said, you know what, Lord, I don't need you to do anything today. What I really need is to give you some praise and worship. I need to take some time to thank you. I need to thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you've done in our church this year. I thank you for what you've done in my family. I thank you for all those things that I forget, the blessings that you have poured on. And I just took some time to praise Him. And you know, I had petitions, I had concerns in my heart for people who were sick and people were in need. And I was able to present those things to Him. And then sometimes I'll just ride in my car with no music, no worship, no nothing, because I just want to listen. It's the quietest place I have most times, where I can just, in my car, I can just be silent before God and listen and say, God, I want to hear you. I want you to speak. But I love the scripture that when David was anointed to be king, he was anointed with a ram's horn. How many know Saul was anointed from a flask of oil, but David was anointed from a ram's horn? There's a difference in having an anointing that is packaged anointing, or have an anointing that flows out of the death of a male lamb. How many know the ram's horn is symbolic of the death of Jesus? And if there's going to be an anointing that flows, I want the one that flows from the cross of Calvary. And it that anointing was what propelled him into position to become a giant slayer and a mighty man. It set him up for promotion. So I want you to know that the anointing, you know, when he come down to anoint David king, Samuel said, God spoke to Samuel and he said, fill your horn with oil and go. I'm going to cause you to anoint the next king of Israel. And Samuel went down to the house of Jesse and he called all of those before him who looked like they were the anointed men of God for this season. And when they passed before him, God did not sanction it. If God didn't sanction it, I want to tell you today, don't anoint it. If God is not sanctioning, if God has not set it in place or set it in order, then don't anoint it. And Samuel said, I will not sit down to dinner with you until I anoint the next king, and he's not passed before me. And when he calls the young lad out from keeping the sheep, he calls David in, and then the Spirit of the Lord was on David, and God spoke to Samuel, and he said, anoint him, for he's the one that I have chosen. I want you to know God will always choose a man or a woman to lead that has the heart of a shepherd. a heart that cares for sheep, a heart that knows how to take care of sheep. David was only a mighty man with a giant because he'd already spent some time in the backside of the desert with sheep, and he'd already taken on the lion and the bear. And so then when he was challenged by the Philistine, he said, "And I will do the same thing to this uncircumcised Philistine." What seems like an oppression or seems like despair that you may have been focusing on may just be a setup for a promotion. And so it ran down on the, they said that the anointing oil ran down on the garments of the priest. And I love this because out of Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," or God's acceptance, "and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build. They shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." When God spoke to me and said, "Start prophesying and preaching and declaring, arise and build." And I said in that series, you do not silence the voice of Sanballat or Tobiah by what you say, but by what you build. And he said, "You will build the old waste and raise up former desolations for the generations." I'm not just in this for me, I'm in it for the generations. It's what I care about, it's what my passion is. But I love it that it said that the anointing would flow to the hem of the priest's garment, all the way down to their beard, to the collar, and even down to the hem of their garment. And we see that picture of our priest, our high priest, Jesus, when he is touched by the woman who is bowed over, the woman who has an issue of blood, the woman who has an issue of blood, who presses through the crowd. I mean, sometimes you got to press through everything that crowds out your healing, crowds out your anointing, everything that crowds, there's so many things that we can't, it said she couldn't get to Jesus for the press. And how many know there's sometimes you got to press through sometimes and ignore the things that are crowding out his presence. And she said, "If I can touch the hem of his garment, why not if I could touch his hand, or if I could touch his sleeve, or if I could touch something?" She said, "If I could just touch his hem, I know there's healing in the hem of the garment of my high priest." And I declare to you this morning that as we reach out to touch a hold of him, there is a connection. And the scripture says that virtue flowed from him to her, and she was made whole. And I declare today there is an anointing in the hem of the garment of our high priest that causes us not to be ashamed, that causes us not to feel unworthy, that we can press in and grab a hold of him and receive that flow of anointing and healing. Hallelujah. There was a woman in the Old Testament, the widow, who Elijah was sent. He said, "Go into Zarephath, because I have provided a widow woman there to sustain you." And the scripture said Elijah went to the woman in the middle of a famine that he had spoken and he had declared. How many know a lot of times in the Old Testament when a prophet spoke, they would shut up the heavens and there would be no rain? But I'm thankful in the new covenant there's a priest who has opened up the heavens. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the scripture said that the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended. I'm thankful today that we live under an open heaven. But the scripture said that he had already prepared her to sustain the man of God. And when he went to the house and he said to her, give me a drink of water, and she said, she went to get the water, and he said, and while you're going, bring me a little cake, bring me a little meal. She said, man of God, I have nothing. I have a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal, and I was going to prepare it for my son and I, and then we were going to die. Nevertheless, the scripture said she responded to the voice of the prophet, and she brought what she had. And what I want to say to you today, if you feel drained, if you feel like every bit of oil and meal has been drained out of your barrel, I want to tell you this morning, it's a setup for a fill-up. It's a setup for a fill-up, because what God did was drained every bit of yesterday's meal, yesterday's anointing, yesterday's crisis, yesterday's famine. He drained every bit of that, and she gave that to God. She gave her emptiness to God. She gave yesterday's word. She gave yesterday's meal. She gave yesterday's oil and anointing, and she gave it to the man of God. And he said, because you have, I'm about to anoint you. I'm going to fill up your barrel with fresh meal, fresh oil, fresh anointing. And I want to tell you today, it's a setup for a fill up. If you have been feeling drained, I want you to just raise your hand right now, wherever you are, wherever you might be. And I declare and speak over you today that it is a setup for the fill up, that God is removing everything out of your barrel that you have depended on to this point, and he is about to fill you with a new vision, new direction, new provision, new job, whatever it is you are looking for. God is filling up right now. If you will receive it, raise your hand and receive it and say, God, I'm ready for a setup, for a fill up. I want you to not just anoint my head. I want you to saturate my mind, my will, and my emotion with your anointing, that I live out of a barrel that is full of the anointing of the fresh flow of God's Spirit for this day and this season, in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen and say, I grab a hold of that. That's for me. I'll take that. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. See, you can either, there was another widow in the scripture, and I'm closing with this. You can either live as the widow woman said, the creditors are coming after me and my kids. Man of God, I need help. And he said, I want you to go around to your neighborhood, and I want you to gather up every vessel, and I want you to start pouring oil into them. And what I want to ask you today, are you borrowing from your neighbor, or are you a dispenser of divine oil? Because I want God to pour so much into me that it leaks out of every crevice and every area, that the anointing will flow not only in my house, not only to my kids, that every creditor would be silenced, every emotion, every disease, every sickness would be silenced, and that we in this day would become a dispenser of divine oil that silences the voice of the creditor and touches not only my house, but my neighbors and those whose house had a vessel in it as well. I want to pray over you this morning, and I want you to declare those things in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being connected to us. I can't tell you how much we appreciate what you have sowed into our ministry this year. I know it's harder when we're online to give. I thank you for everyone that has given. If you want to go right now, you can go to wodchurch.com. You can hit the donate button. We'll have a link popped up there. I want to sow seed in 2021, because if you think my seed is big, just wait till you see my harvest. And so I want to declare over you that we are sowing seed in this season, that God is bringing an anointing. It's not necessarily even a new anointing. It's learning how to operate out of the anointing that's already in you. And I praise God for that. And so if you want to give, go online. You can give. You can catch us on our podcast, WOD wdchurch.com. You can find us on Facebook. And we love you today. We appreciate you. And we thank you. We don't take it lightly that you take your time to tune in and to be connected with us. Father, I thank you that everyone under the sound of my voice today, God, that you are bringing a saturation, Lord, of your anointing that works not just from the outside in, Father, but it works from the inside out. And we stir up the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, that you are moving, that you are still on the throne. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We honor you today, Lord. We trust you. We believe what you've spoken over us, God. And we pray, Father, that you cause us to rise and build what you've called us to do. Build relationships, Lord. Build the temple of God. Build your people up, Father, that we might be a voice in the earth, Lord, that brings healing and restoration. We honor to you today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed something you've heard this morning. If you did, borrow a vessel, find a neighbor, pour it into them, and let you just see the kingdom of God increase in power and might and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.